This is the word of the Lord. This is Sunday, April 24th, 2016. I welcome those of you to the House of Manna podcast. I believe the word of the Lord is going to encourage you, invigorate you, and empower you today to go and get your stuff. The Lord gave me this word for the body of Christ. This is the 70th Jubilee for the Bride of Christ, along with being a leap year at our one and at our two, which signifies a season of strength, deliverance, victory, success, promotion, and acquiring our God-given wealth, receiving power to make wealth, double blessings of anointing and joy, double portion of strength and blessing in his glory. Haggai 2, 4, and 9. May you receive power, Deuteronomy 8:18, to prosper in all that you do. May God restore the years that the locusts have eaten, Joel 2:25. And may you be established in his glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I declare unto you, this is the season of pregnancy with purpose and direction for the kingdom of God, a season of sweetness and a time of celebration. Curses are broken and overturned, making the bitter become sweet. Are you ready to receive your word? I want to share with you what the Lord was sharing with me as I began to tell you that the bride of Christ has been asleep. And I shared this with you on Wednesday that the bride was asleep in the Song of Solomon chapter 5. And when her lover came knocking, she went to reach, but because she delayed, she missed the visitation. And we are not to miss the visitation. We are to respond to the calling and the prompting of God in his timing, which is immediate. If I tell my children to come, that does not mean come at your leisure. That means come now. Did I hit a nerve? I think I hit a nerve, Mom. I had to learn the hard way. Because when Mom said come, that didn't mean come whenever I decided to come. That means come now. And if I didn't come now, Mom had something to tell me when I got to her. Where were you? You heard me calling you. Now, in my mind as a child, I could not process what the importance was, but she knew the importance. And so when I get to that place that God has something to tell me, it is not for me to understand then. It's for me to understand till I get into the very presence. Do you understand? When you're far away from God, oh, Lord, hear this. Something has been taken from you to make you get further away from God. May it be something that the enemy has done to keep you away from him. But when God says, come, do not delay. You get in his presence. Yes, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. You understand? The lover had came knocking and left. She went searching and couldn't find him. Do we want to be the bride that is searching for God and cannot find him? Or do we want to be the bride that is eagerly waiting and looking for his return? And then I heard the Lord say, the reason for the despondency or the delay is found in John chapter 10, verse 10. Turn with me if you would, please. John 10:10. You should know this, but just make a reference to it. This is not the beginning of it. I mean, this is not the purpose of this particular message I'm going to share with you at the end. But I'm going to tell you how we get to that place of despondency and delay. It begins in John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give life in all its fullness. You see, what the enemy tries to do is to steal things from you. And what happens is it makes you lose focus and put the focus on the natural. But I want to talk to you more about the spiritual realm. If you know that the devil is in the business of stealing and ripping things off, then we shouldn't wonder where our stuff has gone. If I go home today, and this is just me speaking if, because this is hypothetical, quote unquote, because this will not happen, for there are angels stationed at my home. If I'm to go to my house and a thief has come in, what are we to do and what is your first response? Before we go into all the Christian kind of responses. Oh, bless God. Nobody was home. You're going to first go, oh, my God. Why? How did anyone see? What did they take? So we go through all that. We go through the emotional side first. But then the next thing we do is we call police. We call authority. Well, at least I hope you do. And if you have insurance, that's the next phone call is your insurance. And if you don't have insurance, hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Then we invoke this scripture. If the enemy steals, then he's got to pay back seven times. But first, we got to call authority and make a report. Well, I read to you last week about when the enemy has found out if the thief has come in and he has stolen, and he's stolen for his personal gain, and he's caught, then he has to repay seven times, even to the point of giving his whole house. So we call on the authority, which is the word of God. God, what are you saying? Why? Tell me why. Get in a position. Get in his presence. Then begin to inquire. When you begin to inquire, you begin to have an understanding. But before we even get to the understanding of why, let's look at how. So we see Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We all know that, right? Before you theologians get, yeah, but Jesus conquered it all on the cross. Yes, he did. But his ministering demons go out to wreak havoc in your life. There is a battle that still ensues. But let's understand what he tries to do. First of all, number one, Satan comes to dispossess your blessings and joy. What does that mean? To take away your joy and your blessings. To take away what you already possess. At least you should know you possess it. Right? Hello? Some of y'all look like y'all had some lemons before you got here, but I'm just saying. Add a little bit of sugar, it makes it sweet. He comes to take away your blessings and your joy. Number two, Satan comes to assassinate or to cause you to abort your blessings. Number one was he dispossesses your blessings and joy. You're not going to know it if you didn't know you had it. But if you knew you had it, then you would know you lost it. Oh, come on now. See, if you think that all in your life is obtained by what your own ability is, then you're going to think that everything that you've acquired is yours. The reality is it's all his. I told God, everything that I own is yours. If you want to use it, use it. If you want to take it, take it. I am more inclined to do what you want me to do. And I know that because of that, by following after you, I know I possess the blessings of God and the joy of the Lord in my life. Even things look bad, get bad, I know that I have joy. I just have to learn to draw on it from time to time. Now, number two was he assassinates or to cause you to abort your blessings. Now, what's an assassination? Assassination is not coming right up to you and killing you. It's from a distance. Have you ever seen the movie Shooter with Mark Wahlberg? And he shoots that unbelievable shot that's so far away. Well, they try to make it seem like he shot, but it wasn't him. Well, anyways, they have to account for all the different wind variations, the temperature, all of that, and the distance. See, assassinations are not right up close to you. They're from a distance. So what the devil is going to try to do is from a distance influence you to abort your blessings. Do you understand? Get you to give it up. I don't want this. This is too hard. This ain't even fun no more, God. I'm just trying to just go to church. That's what's happening. He's already stole your joy. So he's making you abort your blessings. Number three, Satan comes to dismantle or to sabotage your work of covenant blessings. He comes to dismantle or to sabotage your work of covenant blessings. Well, in order to dismantle, you've got to already have it put together. You understand? But to sabotage something, how many of you have seen some attacks come your way that wait a minute. Where did this come from and why was it sent my way? Why is this in my life when I'm trying to do the very will of God? You just answered your own question. Because you're doing the will of God. Oh, don't think because if you quit doing the will of God, he's going to stop. No, he's going to try to kill you. Kill off your joy, kill off your faith, take your hope away. Do you think the enemy needs your car, your house, or your money? No. Satan doesn't need that? Then why do we say the devil stole it? Devil done took my money. He don't care about your money. He took my car. You should have never got it. Could you afford it then? Don't worry, I'm talking about myself. Chill. I'm going to get all mad real quick. Pastor, you're talking about me because you knew about my situation. Stop. Well, you don't think I make mistakes? I got a book of them. I went to look at a truck. Matter of fact, I went to go change oil in the truck that I originally had. Great payment, great interest rate, everything beautiful. And then I saw this truck, man, because it had bigger tires and it was black. Well, that's prophetic. I want that truck. What does the salesperson do? The devil. That devil. He can drive out today with no money down. What you talking about? I just came and changed my oil. He says, yeah. Give me your keys. Let me go and do how they check the value of the truck. My truck was new. He goes, yeah, you can drive out today. But the interest rate's going to be a little bit higher. I don't care. I want it. Interest rate's going to be higher, and the payments are going to go a little bit higher because it's worth more. Just a little bit, right? Just a little. How is $200 a little? Devil is a lot. See, devil. But then he had the keys right there in my hand. Remember that, babe? Yeah, she remembers. She was like, are you sure God said? Oh, God said. It's prophetic. Here are the keys like this. So you're going to drive out right now. What about the oil change? Don't worry about it. I'm going to give you a year's supply of free oil changes. It's not free. I paid for it inside that extra $200. So I drive off in that truck. Me that. I got my new truck. It's higher. It's lifted so I can see further. Right? Try to make all these beautiful kind of prophetic innuendos. Oh, God, I'm at a level that you've raised me 6 inches. It's a 6-inch lift. That 6-inch man is going to be lifted up and raised up. You've given me the off-terrain vehicle so that I can go off course and follow after you and blaze a new trail. This is truly you, God. So what happened when all of my contracts fell out? What was the first thing they came for? How y'all know the story? Come on. It's simple. God never told me to go and do it. Is I desired to go and do it. So I went after you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this truck. So now the truck is gone. And guess what my excuse? God, you took away my closet where I would meet you. Find me new places. No, but my truck is where I would meet you. I need you to grow up. No, but my truck is where I would meet you. You know how we try to reason with God. So then the truck is gone. I think, okay, that's it. God, you got my attention now. I repent. Every contract that I had lined up that would have paid the house that we had just recently bought would have paid it off in a few years. That's when the market fell out. Remember that whole crash? Fell out? So we lost the house too. Did the devil take it? So you don't know how to answer, do you? No, the devil didn't take it. He don't care about your house. He don't care about that. What he does care about is if you're continually working after the things of God and how you're going to react during that moment when things that you feel are precious to you are taken away. Are you going to continue after the things of God, or are you going to quit and put your life down and say, I'm through with you, God? That's what he's after. He wants to steal your joy, steal your passion, your zeal. And today I want to tell you that the body of Christ is beginning to get their zeal back because the enemy has come to confuse. So I said, Lord, I'm not going to put the blame on the enemy. What do I got to do? It says, our purpose for living should not be based upon things that we use to fill our void. Drugs, alcohol, meaningless relationship, career achievements, and sinful pleasure. Anything to fill a void. That's not our purpose for living. Our purpose for living is to pursue after the things of God, which is your destiny. Now, the road to your destiny is discovered along the way. Because if he was to show you how to get there, how many of you would run to it right now and know we're ready to receive your destiny? So it seems like what you should get to point A to point B would be the quickest way. God has a way of making you go the long way around. God, I understand what you're doing. Where'd you go? How come I can't feel you no more? How come I can't hear from you no more, God? Haven't you been there? Yeah. And he's like, I need you to chase me and find me. I don't want to play hide and seek with you. I want to know that when I call upon you, you're there. Yeah. Okay, little baby. Everything that you want, you think it's going to be given to you? Well, I'm your son. You know how we start using that. I'm a son of the Most High God, and I should know. He says, yeah, you're acting like a child. You're still not a son. You're still a baby. Let me show you some things. These hardships are going to teach you character. No? How many of you have been going through a character kind of challenge? Some of y'all are like, how do I raise both legs as I'm standing? Because he's challenging our character. But how do we display character when everything is going good? The good, the bad, and the ugly. There's some good times, there's some bad times, and there's some ugly times. The ugly times are like, I don't want anybody to come over my house. I don't want to see nobody. I don't want anybody knowing what's going on in my life. But you, the pastor, you need to go talk. No, I don't know. I'm going on vacation. Take a sabbatical. Really? Okay. I'm going to show everybody your character. How are you going to do that, God, if I ain't talking? In your body language. How you respond. I'm going to respond. Respond to who? You know how we start acting like Moses? We start stuttering. I think that's why Moses stuttered, because every time God was speaking, he spoke to him about his character. This is like how we do. When mom would get, you know, catch me doing something wrong. What are you doing? You know, we get in trouble. We start to just start looking for a kind of excuses. It was raining outside and it's sunshine. How'd you wreck the car? It was raining. I got ran off the road. Where did it rain? Just where you were at? Ain't not one drop. I got ran off the road and there was some gravel and I went like this and then. We're way back there, mama. But you know, we start giving all kinds of excuses when God wants to speak to you about your character, right? How many hardships come your way and nobody's around to help you? When you're going through your storm, you start looking for those. I got you. I really need you right now. Don't worry about what I'm in right now. Where'd you go? You don't answer my calls. You don't answer my texts. You know, you look, and God has a way of just saying, no, I'll put them in hiding from you. And then you get mad, and he's saying, I'm showing you your character. What you think is hidden, I reveal. Oh, Lord. I reveal. God made man to find fulfillment in him. And the awareness has been stolen from his bride by way of self-fulfillment, smokescreens, and lies. See, there was, I don't know, remember Lionel, the Atari, when Atari first came out? The younger kids, they don't understand Atari, man. How many of you remember Atari? You know, that was back in, see, thank you. Atari was the one where it was all pixelated, but in your mind, it was like a real game. I mean, shoo. Anybody had Atari, they were rich. Ask me if I had Atari. Did I have Atari? I ain't had no Atari. I had a friend that had an Atari.
There you go.
So I was always there with him. You didn't have one, right? But you had a friend that had one. So I was always at his house, too. And we're sitting there playing. And then there was this game where you would drive the car. And you couldn't even tell it was a car, but you knew that was you. You know, you could just tell. And you would hit a slick spot, and you would just burn out. But then there was also this smoke that would come on this track, you know, and you would go. It was a smoke screen. And then you would start hitting the walls and stuff like, and you just couldn't get to where you needed to go. I was like, man, now they have the new Nintendos and all these other ones, Xbox and stuff. When you look at it, you know what you're looking like. Wow, that's nice. Back then, we had to use imagination. Black and white, green. Black screen, green images. Ain't no color involved. There was none of this 3D effect. There was none of these sounds. You had to make up. Just so you can make it fun. One joystick with one button. Now, you got to use both hands, all fingers, some of your toes, too, just to use these games. But see, we had to use our imagination. But in this particular game, I was sitting there with my friend Pat, and we're playing, and we're sitting in this big old den, because back in the day, we used to have dens, you know, dens, converted garages into dens, so that where you would have your formal dining room, which nobody would ever sit at. I don't know why we have the formal. Okay, formal. The formal becomes someone's bedroom later.
Hardship.
Woo! I'm trying. Guys, just let me be me for a minute. I'm going to get to it. But we go into this den and we're playing this game. And I'm just the worst at games. Ask my son. Dad, you want to play? Yeah, let's play. Well, how do I do this? Well, turn around. You're shooting yourself. Why are you shooting at me? We're supposed to be playing together and we're on a team and I'm shooting at him. Shoot them. Well, how can you see them? You see those little dots up there? That's the ones you're supposed to shoot at. Well, I can't see them here. But they're coming. How do you know? Because they're getting closer. But I can't see them. You know, and he finally got to the point. He don't even ask me to play. And one time he asked me to play this NBA game. Forget it. Shooting into the stands. I don't understand it. But it's so lifelike. I want to play, but I never got into it. I was always outside playing with rocks, sticks, and kicking the can. Oh, my God. Y'all remember? I know y'all don't remember this. Come on. You would get on the cans and you would stop on it like this. And it would cover your foot. We couldn't afford roller skates, but that's our roller skates. And then you used to think you were real cool because you got the big cans. And you would act like a robot. Again, you had to make your own sounds. You know, nowadays they make all the sounds for you on the toys. Where'd I go? I got lost back in the day. Oh, my God. I was always outside playing. I was not inside. So when the kids say, let's go play. No, let's go outside. Let's go play outside. Nowadays, go outside. What you talking about? Go outside and play. You know the sun's out. I'm going to get spots and wrinkles when I get older. Go play. See, I had to take you back to get your joy back. That's all. That's all. That's it. Just we had to go back, okay? Get our joy back. Some of y'all went back. Y'all like, man, that was them days back then. I didn't have no bat and glove, but we had a stick and a rock. We didn't have no basis. See, the red car over there that's broken down, they don't have the wheel, that's first. But if you hit it past that fence over there that's falling over, that's a home run. And when you get to third base over here, be careful because there's glass over there. So don't touch it. Just go around it. We have imaginations. And then it got to the point, nobody has a glove and you're throwing rocks. If you hit the runner, he's out. Well, we took advantage of that. See, y'all thought y'all had games nowadays where you're playing. What's that one I was talking about with the, you're shooting the people? What's it called? It's Call of Duty. You think y'all had a game, Call of Duty? No, you had to play dodgeball and baseball at the same time with a rock. If you got hit, you were really up. Next runner. Okay, come on, guys. Okay, one last story, and I'm going to get back, I promise. One last story. I live by railroad. I didn't live by my grandmother lived by railroad tracks. I'm always at grandma's. We're always there. Now, there's this park that was there. It's where I grew up playing basketball and this and that. But they were doing some, they were doing some work, and they put those big old piles of rocks. Well, I was the youngest, and I was always around the older kids, all right? So the older kid says, let's play war. Okay. With what? Rocks. Okay. So they would hide. I see you. These ain't those little pebbles, by the way. These were the railroad rocks. And guess how we were playing and what time we were playing?
At night.
You only knew you got someone when, ow! Got you. So here I am. I'm trying to throw over all these big old mountains of rock. I stood up and one hit me right in the nose. Poof. You thought that was the one that was really going to, oh my God, blood. No, there was a whole bunch. What I was scared of.
Going back home.
Going and face my mom. What happened? I was laying down looking at the stars, and they were throwing rocks in the air, and one just went backwards and hit me. Mentiroso, why are you lying to me? I know you were playing war over there with those rocks. Get inside the house. No sympathy, no empathy, no. Just get in the house. Blood everywhere, Jeremiah, everywhere. I think I need a transfusion, but they didn't care. I was so weak. What were you doing over there playing with those rocks? I told you not to be over there. After it's nighttime, you're not supposed to be out there. You said you're going to be at your friend's house, but you were over there playing. You know you better than you should have been lying to me. Blood coming. Blood covered. Covered. Let me see. Is it broke? I don't know. Nah, it ain't broke. Get over there. Thinking we're leaving. We didn't even leave. They stayed there. When it's a barbecue and it goes into the night, you're going to stay to eat. Y'all going, is the food ready? Okay, let's get back to the message. My God. I had to take it back. Come on. Yeah, it was real heavy in here. I just had to, Okay. Oh, Lord. Oh, I love my church. I love my church. Okay. Get back. Stop it. Y'all should see your face. Okay. Josh, help me, Josh, please. Josh, give me.
is the rock. Visitors this night. My God, I'm trying. You're gonna get your joy back. You're gonna get your joy back. Sometimes you gotta go back and go get it back. I went way back to get my joy. Hallelujah. Forget all this other stuff. Let me just get to it. God, I was trying to build it up. I'm trying to build it up. And y'all like, forget it. Oh, I got delivered. Hallelujah. Okay, get your Bible. Get your Bibles. Oh, my God. You can't even focus. Okay. Those of you on the podcast, you just should have been here. Oh, my God. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7. When you're there, say amen. Oh, Lord. First Samuel 30, chapter... Oh. I'm sorry, verse 7. 1 Samuel 30, verse 7. And when you're there, say amen. Here's what I want to share with you. I've got 15 minutes before I finish here. Whew. Okay, let me set this story up real quick. David has just had his, he's at Ziklag, and he has just had all of his women and children and stuff stolen, okay? Because as he was away getting ready to fight for another king together, during this time that he's away, the enemy comes in to plunder his camp and takes all of his goods. So now we're at this point now at verse 7. It says, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, Amalek's son, pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and 600 men that were with him. And he came to the brook of Beshar, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400. For 200 abode behind, which were so faint, they could not go over the brook of Beshar. One thing I want to point out to you first, in verses 7 through 10, is that David, first of all, was being threatened to be killed and stoned by his own men because the anguish was so great from the things being stolen. Their wives, their children, okay? And not only that, their cattle and everything was taken from them while they were gone. While you're away, the enemy is going to try to creep in. Even though you're doing God's will. Watch this. Even when you're doing God's will, the enemy will still try to come in and steal from you and take everything that you've built up. Woo! Hallelujah. So they were about to stone David and kill him because they were angry. The Bible says that he encouraged himself, this is in verse 6, he encouraged himself in prayer, and not only did he do that, he asked for the ephod, which represents the will of God. What you first have to gather from this is that every time you're going through something, you need to have the will of God with you. You need to be in the will of God, and you have to take your position. What David did now at this point, he assumed the position of the high priest. He took the ephod to pray the will of God for his life. So he inquired of God, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake?
And God told him, yes. When you pray, number two, when you pray in line with the will of God, you will get what God has given you. But when you pray for yourself, you're praying amiss. But if you pray the will of God, you're praying the heart of God, and he will give you that. Number three, the Bible says here that you will recover all without fail. Without fail. When you have the will of God, praying in the will of God, you will recover all. Now, I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. Now, in the midst of you doing the will of God, praying in the will of God, getting ready to recover all, there's going to be some that are not going to go with you. Woo! This is going to help somebody. This is going to help somebody. Not everybody's going to cross over with you to go and fight and gather the stuff. They're too weak and too tired because of the season that they've been in. And they don't want to fight anymore, and they want to quit. But their wives and their children were taken as well. But they didn't want to go gather. Can you imagine the mindset of these 200 that didn't travel? That didn't go and get the stuff? I can only imagine the wife. Think about what was taken. Don't just read the story and say, oh, Mita, that's a nice story about David. He got his stuff back. Okay. Well, let's look about what he was going to go get. His soldiers, wives and children and cattle. So him and the others, they go, except 200 of them. Now, I can only imagine the wives that see the men coming to get them and to rescue them and start looking for their husband. Well, I see David. Was I thought Marty? Yeah, I thought Jeff. I mean, Popo. Well, I don't count it. 600 is. My husband didn't come with you? Shoot. Get me back. Just get me back. He was too weak to come for me. And his six kids. Well, they have cable. Come on, let's put it in today. Let's just. All right, baby, let's just show him. Come on, baby, let's just show him. Put it down. Come on, Jeff. Come on, Jeff. Me and you, Jeff, come over here. Come on, Josh. Colleen, Liz, come right here. Mama, go stand over there with Colleen and Inez. Come on, Jeff. We're coming to get them. Okay. Now, those ladies are sitting there looking like, we've been held captive. We were taken in the middle of the night, our kids with us, and they took all the cattle, and they took everything with them. They came and stole us out of the way. But from a distance, Inez sees her valiant man. Now's the time to shine, you know. I'm coming for you, honey. And Colleen sees, look, and there comes my valiant steed. Yeah. Liz looks and says, oh, here comes my warrior. But Mama Lou is looking for Popo. Where's Popo? Where's Popo? Wait. Get your eyes. Oh, Mita, we got you back. We killed them all. Let's go. You knew I would come. Yes. Come on. Can you imagine now the other wives are like, ¿Dónde está mi esposo? Do you think she's going to get to the house and say, hi, honey, you were sick. Let me make you. Oh, you were congested? Let me get you some Vicks and some anise and then put some lemon. Y'all don't know about that. She going to get home and she going to look at her man. She, you didn't have enough. I'm looking at you.
Role play.
Do you think she goes, "Aye, honey, I'm so glad to see you. Oh my God, it was so terrible. But by the way, why didn't you go with David?" I almost guarantee you the spirit of Moses would have came on, Popo. But I love you, honey. Do you understand? Yes. Think about it. When you read it, don't just skim over scripture and just say, "Oh, well, 200 were sick." Think about how the other women would have responded, right? Would you think that there'd be some anger and some discord? Okay, wait a minute. So David rescues them also. I mean, the wives and the children are the ones that didn't go. Watch this. Okay, you can get with Popo right now. Watch this. Now watch. I'm going to read, and then I'm going to explain what I'm talking about. Verse 17 through 20 reads this way. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening the next day. He fought morning even to the next night. That's a long battle. And they escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels, and they fled. So 400 and camels took off. David recovered all the Amalekites and had carried that had the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all, and he took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before them, other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." Now, David gathers all. It's a long battle. David gets back to the camp Ziklag, all of them together. He brings the wives back, and if you read on in the story, this is what he tells them: everybody gets their spoils, except the ones that stayed behind. They get their wives and their kids only, and tells them to leave. Watch this. Hear this. David rescues the wives and children because God said, "Yes, you will recover all, not just your own. All." So you recover all. You restore to them. But because the heart of them, even though they were too tired, they couldn't make it, he still restores to them their wives and their children. But because it would have caused even more discord and division, you've got to go. Did you see that? No, you take her with all of y'all going together. Your wives, your kids, they all have to leave too. Now, isn't that wrong? You would think about it like, wait a minute, I'm the one that got stolen. Me and my kids, they take us at night, and then we hear the battle, and we're praying for you, David, to win. But how come you're telling me to go with my husband? I don't even want my husband no more. He didn't fight for me. You know y'all would have said it if that back in the day. But here's what happened. Because he didn't follow and pursue, David says, "You ain't getting spoils. You'll get your wife and your children, and it's time for you to leave." Can you imagine what mama going to do now? Because of the discord that would have caused the rest of the camp. Did you see that? Okay. All right. You may be seated. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, valiant men, women of God. Thank you. Popo, thank you. Watch this. Now, everything was recovered. But the reason why I'm telling you this story is for you to understand this. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Here's what I want to share with you concerning this word. Do you believe that God will recover the stolen property? Yes. Or do you think this situation is impossible for you?
This is what he's going to do. He is going to reignite your flame. He's going to tell you how to get back into position. He's going to show you that I've already won the battle for you, but you've got to go get your goods. You have got to be in the right heart, the right frame, and in the right position to go get your goods. Sometimes you got to go back and go get your joy, go get your hope, go get your ministry, go get your children, go get your wife, go get your husband, go get everything that the enemy has lied to you about and tried to take it from you, but you got to go back and you got to go get it. Sometimes you got to fight for a season, but know this, that if you're in the will of God, you will get back everything that the enemy says you can have back. Why is that? Because the enemy has to give back to you once he's found out. Is he after your house or your car? No. He is after the things of covenant. He's after marriages. He's after your children. Whoo, he's after ministry. He's after everything that represents the will of God. That's what he's after. Maybe you made some mistakes along the way, but he's after covenant. He wants to destroy. He wants to kill. And he wants to steal. But Christ did die on the cross for you. And he gave you the keys. Why did he give you the keys? So that you can lock the door on the enemy and unlock the door of his house and take everything back of which he has taken from you. There is nothing that is not going to be regained. You're going to get your calling back. You're going to get your daughter back. You're going to get your husband back. You're going to get your family back. The potential in your life is going to be restored. He's going to restore fire, restore relationships, and you will bloom once again. Everything that the enemy has tried you on is because that's what he's going to multiply in your life. He's going to bring it back to you. If you thought your ministry had died, it's about to come back intensified with the very will of God. Amen. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet if you will.